here?
Yes.
Which one?
Okay, I'm ready to roll. I'm just waiting for the tapes. Mark, the answer is yes, they follow you.
Can you put it
but
in?
But it's not, ultimately here in Israel, we're all going to be like humans. There are no two ways about it. But it has to take 100 years. Mm-hmm. You can't force. You can't force. That's the important thing. Okay, you all set, everyone, with the recordings? They're both working?
Yeah.
Okay, God bless. Thank you. Vishnatana Rapur Shlema. Yitz is not here. Okay, I'm ready to roll. Yitzchak, you're set? The call is not like what it used to be, size-wise, but there's going to be a new president. Everything's changing in YU. The president was in this colo when you were there. Or maybe it was a little before you. Vic, how are you? How are you? I'm the happiest guy alive. I just sent my grandson the papers for the Moetza Datit and Zichron Yaakov that I'm ready to be Masada Kedushin. You follow? So he has to get here. Are you recording there? You're recording or you're not? Okay, so not for it. All right, let's begin. Today and tomorrow, very, very fascinating Sheurim, I'm telling you in advance. Today is November 6th, 2016, if I'm correct. The whole world is concerned with what will happen on Tuesday. And as I told the lady in her 90s today, who's all upset that Clinton will win, I told her that I've learned in life what I can do. If I can do something, I have to do it. If I can't do anything, I leave it to the Ribbono Shel to worry about it. And I told her, "Boteich b'Hashem Chesed Yisovevenu." That's all. We'll say. One thing I'll tell you: Clinton won't be worse than Obama. You understand? So we survived Obama. What's amazing is that at the moment yesterday when they took Trump off the stage, do you know where his daughter Ivanka was? She was on the Rebbe's Keva in Queens. Unbelievable. So the Chabadnikim have something going in their favor today. All right. Now, we're dealing with a very delicate question, and you'll see later in today's shiur. I don't sleep at night. It's a low pashut. The Mishnah Halacha brought it up. He got the question about music in general, and then music in general disappears, and it comes down to Shlomo LeKalbach. All right, music in general, we've long since found Hetairim to get around the fact that it's after Churban Bayit, and we're not allowed to listen to music. Taker and Yerushalayim HaKodesh in the Old City, you'll see they never bring in a full band. They have one person playing. He can play a number of instruments, but they don't bring in a full band because Churban HaBayit, even at a time of Simcha, it's limited. Outside of Yerushalayim, forget about weddings. What about I don't know what to call it, the nightclubs, here in Talpiot at night, there are all types of nightclubs with singers, with drinks, and I believe they're all kasher, they're kosher, and they have frum where they bring in frum people to sing, and everyone is there, and no one's asking about Churban HaBayit. So the answer is, for health reasons, we live in a world where we have to let loose, we have to relax, leisure time, whatever they call it, I don't know. For me, it's hard to comprehend all this because my leisure is always picking up a Gemara and I'm the happiest guy in the world. But I understand people, my grandsons have gone there and the kids and some of the top Balei Tshuva performing. There are a lot of Balei Tshuva in the industry, as you know. Breslava, and all right, they say for health reasons. Driving a car, so I told you the Rav Paskin with that Shiloh during the 3 weeks when he says to Rebbe, if I don't listen to classical music, I can't drive well. And the Rav says, how many people in the car? He says, no, I'm alive. That's the Shiloh. It's not Simchat Mereyot. Listen to the music and be careful driving. But with Shlomo LeKalbach, here is the problem that here we have someone who composed tunes. And there are many rumors about him. So, as you saw, the Mishnah Halachat Asas playing Shlomo's music. He brings many sources. We discussed it last week. And then I opened up a volume for you, The Real Shlomo by Chaim Dalfin. And Chaim Dalfin sends me an email, why don't you talk about my new book? I tell you, I can't win. I'm talking about his book on Shlomo because that's where we're up to. If I was talking about the Rav and the Rebbe, I just finished his new book today, reading it again to be sure that my preface and my haskama are not in vain. And I have to say, I wrote a letter today to a very prominent rabbi. There's not a trace of Mashiachism in the book. The rabbi was worried about letting him speak in his shul because of the Mashiach business. I told him there's not a trace of Mashiachism in the new book. But anyway, Dalfin has did a not very nice job standing on the shoulders of Ophir Achenbacher from Hebrew U. He did the first book, and the question of his relationship with women, there is no doubt that Bifnei Yom V'Eda he touched women and he hugged, he kissed, which gets us involved in the whole question if he looks upon himself as a social worker, are you allowed to touch women? Sometimes a kid needs a hug, encouragement. So I mentioned it in class. I said, I heard the Rav ask this question, and he simply couldn't paskin. So my dear Talmud Rav Yeshua Grunstein sent me a volume from Psoha, a photograph. It's evidently a recent volume. You don't know what Psoha is. It's the organization of rabbis here. I would sort of compare it to the Rabbinical Council of America. In other words, what you have happening in Israel is you have the chief rabbinate, which today is in the hands of Haredim, go and dream how much they opposed the, if you were alive in the 1920s, you would know what I'm talking about, how they opposed and put in Haredim the chief rabbinate, and today they control it. So that's like the Agudas HaRabbanim used to be. We're going to spend a nice year or so on the Agudas HaRabbanim, maybe more in this very room in the Monday class. We'll get there. Be'ezrat HaNotein Le'Yov Koach. Then the RCA came to be in the mid-30s. That's like Tzoha. Now you have another organization, Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel is to the left of Tzoha. They already resemble Chovevei Torah. You follow? That's the way the structure goes. If you ask me, with Tzoha I'm very comfortable. With Beit Hillel I could never be a member. I know some of the people there, the women, the men, Shira Chadasha. In my humble opinion, it's neoconservatism, but let's see what happened over the next 50 years. Now, in the Journal of Tzoha, I'm holding an article on this very topic. Hilchat Kirva Bein Haminim B'Misgeret Tipul. And if there's anyone here who's a social worker, you should take this. It's a very valuable piece. And the truth of the matter is, they can't reach a black and white answer either. Ain't up in troubles on a riot. A girl can be 12 years old. You say, oh, she's only a minor. You can meet 12-year-old girls that are totally physically developed. It's ain't up in troubles on a riot. They struggle with it. But all right, I can understand that a therapist, you have a kid who's wild, who's this, who's that, who feels unwanted. No one has ever kissed her, hugged her. So a therapist will put his hand around her and give her self-confidence. All right? Ulai, 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 afshala hati. I'm not certain. But Shlomo Lechabach, we're talking about fully grown women in their teens, in their 20s, in their 30s. All right. And we read some of the interviews with women. So I'm going to come back to this because Dalfin gives you one opinion of Kalbach. You'll see there's a lot more, but I'll come to it later. I also want to make one correction. A number of people corrected me, including my dear friends the Lipsons from Toronto, Nachum Land from Yerushalayim, and if you recall, I told you the story of Rabbi Lichtenstein, how the family gets to Chicago. You all know I was rooting for the Chicago Cubs, and I thought people asked me, Rebbe, why does it concern you, this World Series, Cleveland, Chicago? You're a Bronxite, you're a Yankee fan. But I said, in memory of Rabbi Lichtenstein, I was rooting for the Cubs, and you see, Rabbi Malkus says he had to be praying for them, because the miracle he pulled off, down 3-1, and then win the next three, the last two in Cleveland, this is Rabbi Lichtenstein. I give him the credit. Zeichut Tzadikot Bracha. So I told the story. Did you hear the story I told last week? Why did they came to Baltimore? They came to Baltimore because the rabbi was a first cousin to his mother. And then they went to Chicago. So I told you the president of Rabbi Schwartz's shul, his daughter got married, and they played a song. I said, "Here Comes the Bride" by Felix Mendelssohn. I stand corrected. Wagner wrote "Here Comes the Bride," the anti-Semite. And I confused the two. Felix Mendelssohn wrote "The Wedding March." "The Wedding March" is more, much more classic, finer, deeper. And I thank the Lipson sent me a link. I heard it. I confused the two. So I just want to correct myself. She went the chuppah to Felix Mendelssohn's Wedding March. And Aaron's mother got so upset. This is no place to raise Jewish children. And she took them, and they wound up in Chicago. Tura Baron was ready for high school. Then they come to New York, and Chaim Berlin comes into the picture, etc., etc. Okay. Now we go to Reb Moshe Feinstein. All right, to talk about Reb Moshe, I see Reb Moshe before my eyes. Oh, azazis a mensch. What Jews. Okay, and no machloikis, Reb Moshe, until Satmar got after him, there was never machloikis in his life. And then he suffered, and it's really criminal, because when you talk about AID, it's a machloikis ha-poiskim. You can't, if someone wants to be make, yes, some will smoke. You know, I write in the Rav, and I cited in Rakafet Aaron, the new chelik, that the Rav said, I don't know myself how to paskin the Shaila. Only mi yotzri, vi only mi yitzri. Either way, I can't win. So Rav Moshe, Igrot Moshe, I'm quoting Eben Ezra. It's the volume of Eben Ezra. I believe it's the first volume. It was published in 1974. And I'm quoting Siman Sadi Vav. And here at Moshe, 1974, very similar timing to the Mishnah Halachat, Reb Moshe gets the same question from Malatu Kvodo Yedidima Morenu Rabenu Reb Shmuel Dishon. Who was Reb Shmuel Dishon?
Shmuel Dishon is a Maggid of Karlin Stalin.
He's a Maggid of Karlin Stalin, okay.
His son is the Gabbai of the Stolman Rebbe in Brooklyn, okay. And cousin of Rebbe Tzimshachter.
Okay, and one second. And you, Reb Shmuel is alive. In other words, we're dealing with a tshuva from almost 50 years ago. Okay, but I know I've heard the name.
As a Rosh Hashanah.
Good, no, wonderful. And Reb Cheskat Chaim. And Reb Shmuel Dishon studied where? He's a Chaim Berlin boy? You don't... See if you can check it out. So, wait a minute, this Shaila is from 1959, it's even earlier, excuse me, 1959, Tashyat, am I right? Tashyat is 1959, okay.
He spent a lot of time in Ukraine and Belarus.
Yeah, it's Kalakavod. Okay, and here's the exact question, I quote Reb Moshe, Echad Shaya ben Torah b'cheska tashrit kamishanim. This person was a good person, as we all know about Shlomo's life. He was a Talmud of Chaim Berlin, a Talmud of Lakewood, and then he became a Chabad Chassid, and the Rebbe sent him on campus with his sidekick, Zalman Shechter Shlomi. And he wrote beautiful Nigunim Shirei Kodesh and songs for weddings, and many B'nai Torah sing his songs at appropriate times at Smachot. And now his reputation is not good. People say that he plays for boys and girls together and sings in front of them. And you ask if you're allowed to play the nigunim that he wrote when he was b'cheskat kashrut. Very interesting question. Reb Moshe is taking his question word by word now. Let's say the turning point came when he broke with the Rebbe was in the mid-50s. Until then, he only had boys and girls separate, men and women separate. We spoke about this in the Monday class. I forget, I don't think in this class, but in the Monday class. And then he reached the decision that he couldn't be makariv without having boys and girls together, the old story that the girls attract the boys attract the girls, and the Rebbe literally broke relations with him, let him know he wasn't welcome in Lubavitch, he was going against the Rebbe's will. So now, this question, what about the songs he wrote when he was Becheskat Kashra? So Rav Moshe quotes a Mishnah, a very powerful Mishnah, Maisa Sheni, Perikei, Mishnah Tet Vav. And the Mishnah talks about Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol and the wonderful things that Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol did. He stopped people from saying Bidui Maisa. When you give Maisa, you have to say, the gam natativ lelevi, I did what you commanded me. You, when the Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael, the Levium did not come back. You all know this. The Levium were happy to remain behind in the five towns, in Teaneck, in Beverly Hills, in Hancock Park, in the Hendon. You can go on and on where the Levium remained. So the Chachamim were very angry. They didn't come back. And they said, you no longer give them the Maisa. It was no longer given to the Levium. It was given to the Kohanim. And the Kohanim are also Levium. So therefore, you don't want to lie. You cannot say, Gana Tativ LeLevi, even though a Kohen is a Levi. So he knocked out saying it. Then the Mishnah says, "Bitel etamorim," that the Levium would say every day when they brought karbonat, "Or uru lamatishon Hashem," a pasuk from Tehillim. Why is God sleeping? Wake up and help us! And he was mavatel saying it because Baruch Hashem in Bayit Sheni, God is not asleep, the Jews are home, the Jews are living b'shalom b'shalva. It's not nice to say it. V'etan nokvim, who were the nokvim? They used to bang on some of the karbonot and out of ecstasy. But this was very bad because chas v'chalila, you could make a karbon, a treifa. You're banging on it. I don't have to tell you what's involved with preparing the animal for slaughter. And if you're not careful, you can turn the animal into a treifa. So he abolished it. And he did something else. V'ad yamav haya patish makeh b'Yerushalayim b'cholosh moed. And until his days, on cholosh moed, let's say there was daba avod. Something that had to be done. Water was leaking, pipes had to be fixed, electricity had to be fixed. They were banging with hammers. He abolished it. It's not a cover for Cholamide. We have to get rid of that banging. And here you see the Mishnah. They're praising him. He was wonderful. He was good. He did great takonot. Who was Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol? 80 years of age. He became an apikaresh. Right or wrong, this is the Rabbi Yochanan we're talking about. So Rabbi Moshe says, you see, it's a Gemara in Yuma. You're Naseb Siduki. He became a Karai, a Sadducee. Call him what you wish, a Neokin. Whatever you wish. But he left the path of Torah, 80 years old, Al Pamindriyat Machad Yom Motcha. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You've got to keep after yourself to remain strong. Hard for me to comprehend this, but okay. I mean, the people I know turned 80, the Begvura, the Tiferet, Bekovet, Beyetta Oz, Beyetta Saif. But here, 80 years of age, became an apikoros giddy. So Moshe says very correctly, you see that Chazal didn't leave his name out. Mention him. And even mention him, there's sort of a feeling of praise. He's terrific. He's wonderful. Boy, to stop the noise of banging on Chol HaMoed, kol hakavod to him. Go to Brooklyn on Chol HaMoed and you don't even know it's Chol HaMoed. Business as usual, stores are open, crowds going, coming, Flatbush, Tiulim, everything goes on Chol HaMoed. It's not Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Chol HaMoed, the streets are closed down. How many people went to the Kolta? They said 1.5 million, I think. It's beyond words what goes on here. The Birchat Kohanim, and Ribbono Shel Olam. I had great-grandchildren who went to the Kolta, different families with their parents. All right, they're too young to appreciate, but believe me, it's Hakel. Even the children have brought the Hakel. We've given many drushes on it. It's, you may not comprehend, but there's perception. There's a feeling that remains with you. So Reb Meisham quotes this Gemara that Kivin Shetikeno Tamba Kashruto Yesh Likra Al Shmo Apsha Atahu Rasha Umin Kivin Shetikra Al Hasha'a Shahaya Kosher. And then you see Shlomo Kabach, when did he write this Nigunim? All right, so far in this tshuva, if Reb Moshe is right, it means you have to keep a record of every Nigun that Reb Moshe, that Shlomo wrote, and you'll be at a wedding and you'll tell the people this Nigun you guys say, Vic, you're playing at a wedding. And they'll tell you, this you can play, this you can't play. This was written in 54. Oh, this was written in 62. He was off the path. All right, this is the start of Reb Moshe's tshuva. Okay. Then Reb Moshe takes it from another point of view. Why do we have a klal, say, the Torah shekatav min, we burn, we get rid of it. Why? Shelo laniach shein leapikarsim velo lemaaseihem, that we don't want. Herbie, close the door, but do me a favor. Kitty, can you get two other guys? Let them know to come in so we have a minion for Mario.
Yeah, sure.
A 6:45. Okay? Be sure we have a minion. I want enough that even if someone stands along Shmon Esrei, we can say Baruch Hu when 10 people have finished, say Kaddish and Aleinu and then Baruch. Okay. Why do we burn it? Why do we burn it? Alright, when I was a kid, I was a big Kanoi. I didn't have the learning I have today, or the Seichel I hope I have today. So I remember when I was a little kid, I got the first English translation. I didn't know Hebrew like I know today. Today Hebrew and English are interchangeable, but I didn't know Hebrew, so I got an English translation of Mesillat Yesharim. Can anyone tell me who wrote the English translation? No, it was his PhD thesis, Mordechai Kaplan. So Mordechai Kaplan had a long introduction. So if I still have that original volume, I ripped out the whole introduction, about 75 pages. I ripped it out. All right, don't know what I accomplished, but the idea is that we don't want an apikoros, we don't want it to live on after him. But Moshe says this is only what he wrote when he was an apikoros, but what he wrote before he changed, it's kasher. What about a Sefer Torah? Guy was 21 years old, a Satmo Chassid, a frum guy, told the party line, and he wrote a Sefer Torah. 10 years later, already he's writing a different book. When the Satmo Chassidim leave, I swear to him, it's a problem. They write books, you know what I'm talking about? Bestsellers. I read one of them. I couldn't. I was ready to puke. I mean, the concept of modern orthodoxy or why you orthodoxy is frightening. She's now modern orthodox, and I don't want to quote what her lifestyle. But okay, I think I represent a little bit of Western orthodoxy and Baruch Hashem. Anyway, So he now is in his 30s and he's writing a book. He was brainwashed and how terrible it is and all the terrible sins in the world that he came from and all the sexual sins, any of it. The book sells, of course, the minute you have sex in it and a little bit more. And then he appears on TV and radio and he's interviewed. And what are you going to do? He wrote a Torah 10 years earlier. He was a frum yid then. You're not going to burn the Torah? Chas v'chalila. And Rav Moshe makes reference, Seich and Don, Hilchot Yesodei Torah of the Rambam, Perek Vav, Halacha Chet, Kitvei HaKodesh, Kulan, Upeirushin, Ubiurin, Asul L'Safram, Ola Abam Diyad, V'amabei Biyad, Makinotom, Makot Marta. This is the whole question of Genisa. In Yerushalayim today, if we're going to put every published paper into Genisa and then they bury it, there'll be no room to bury humans. It's a real problem. I'm not trying to be funny. Rav Yisrael Chanan already dealt with the problem. Is they all these sheets that they give out. And Friday, print is very, very cheap today. It's one of the few items in life that infinitely cheaper than what it was. Today, you buy a car. When I was growing up, you could buy a car for $1,500. Today, that same car is $15,000. Print, when I was growing up, my first book, the type had to be set by hand. You don't remember this. They were typesetters. And today, you send the hardcover, what I spoke about Tuesday night at the book launch, you sent the hardcover. You accomplished, Giddy?
I did.
Yashikaya. Okay, good. Mazal tov too. And you sent the hardcover, or Art Scroll sends to China, it gives them a computer program. 2 months later, they get back from China, they ordered 100,000 copies of Masechet Brachot, all right, in English. They get back, you buy it, you think printed in America. Printed in America, technically, it's put together in America. So it's much cheaper today. So you're not allowed to destroy. You're not allowed to destroy Kitvei Kodesh. B'ma devorim amurim b'kitvei HaKodesh katvam Yisrael b'kedusha. Avol apikores Yisrael shekatav sefer Torah sofin oto imas karat shabo with God's name. Mipnei sheinu mamin b'kedushat Hashem, v'lo kadvu lishmo, ela shehu maleh b'daiton shezeh k'shar hadvarim, v'hoil b'daiton k'lo nishkadesh. He wrote a Sefer Torah like he's writing a novel, like he's writing a book, like he's writing an article, like he's writing something, an op-ed piece for the New York Times. There's no kedusha, but then listen to mitzvah l'sarfo, Kedei shelo lahaniach shame laapikorsim velo lemaaseihem, unbelievable. So you can see already a real distinction from Kalbach when he's still a good Chabadnik to Kalbach after he shifts gears. And you can look into the Kesef Mishnah. Yeah, Kesef Mishnah is the Machaber. So he says something very interesting. He's quoting a Gemara, quoting the Sugya. How are you allowed to burn Shemot after all? All right, and Apikoros wrote them, but it's God's name. So he says it's a Kal V'chomer, the English word for Kal V'chomer. I just saw it in Dalfin's new book, 40 Orin. It's a fortiori, kal v'chomer. I remember Rabbi Leibel Dulitz used this word, and all the kids used to walk out of his class. Fortiori. If I'm wrong, correct me. Kal v'chomer, that if you burn God's name, a sota, right or wrong, you give it the pasha has God's name, it has to be rubbed out by the bitter waters. How are you allowed to do that? And that's God's name written B'Kedusha V'Tara. And we do it in order to make peace between husband and wife, quoting an open Gemara now. You've seen the Kesef Mishnah, all the sources. Allah kama v'kama, you can burn a Sefer Torah written by Nabi Kairos to make peace with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. God should not be mad at us that we write Abi courses. Yes, yes, Herbie.
His twin brother, Ellie.
Yeah, yeah, we know. We know him very well.
He never went the other way. But Shlomo's two daughters. I don't know if they're...
Not two. One. One of the daughters has had her problems.
Once. Not the other one?
No, not the other one. One of the daughters. And with the daughter, you see... Let me tell you something. And I say this applies to Davi Hartman, and it applies to Yitz Greenberg. And it's what I'm saying now is very important for Mechanech, even in raising children and grandchildren. If
you're
we,
not saying that...
Listen to what I want to say. If you teach a kid that the outside world is terrible and the Chilonim have no schuyot and the Reform Jews are monsters, and then the kid goes out in the world and he meets Reform Jews, conservative Jews. My grandson's in the army. For the first time, they leave the cocoon, they leave the womb. They're now no longer in yeshiva, and they're meeting in the army Jews who know very little about Yiddishkeit, and they're fine, wonderful, upright, ethical people. These kids can have a culture shock. And it's the best way to educate is to teach they're wonderful people. They're people who have mesirat nefesh, decency, and uprightness. But that's only half the story. There are 10 commandments. 5 being Adam Lechavero, and 5 being Adam Lemakom. And to be a good Jew, you have to be not just being Adam Lechavero, but Adam Lemakom. Judaism is a very multifaceted picture. Segatn Salait, okay, das mein dieselbe Sach. And this is at times a tremendous problem. His daughter went into the big world, the Reform invited her, and suddenly she sees they're human beings, they treat her right, they give her a decent check, I imagine. It's very, very important. Chinuch, you don't maledict others. Be positive. Stress your message. I had that in Tel Aviv when I went for last year. Was it that I went for a long Shabbos, a long weekend to North Tel Aviv to be at my student's son's bar mitzvah to see what's going on there with the kiruv work? So I originally was staying in the Deborah Hotel. So my student told me, no, there's a place closer, bigger. It's little apartments. So we went there. My student arranged that his family stayed there. We were literally next to the apartment was the Shivat Zion shul. I fell out of bed into minyan in the morning, and my student's shul was a block and a half away. So, and a shul that had 13 people, Soha, sent him 10 years ago. He was in the Hamptons before. 350 people Friday night. I saw with my, not everyone is from, but it begins. If you know what Chabad is about, it's the beginning. So, you have to... So that fellow who owns it, I get to talk, he speaks English. And second generation Israeli parents came out. Who are your parents? Father's a YU musmach. And the guy's without a kippah. So I couldn't control myself. I opened up a mouth to him. I had sent his parents to Russia. They owe me. I said to the kid, you had the finest thing. If you grew up in Efrat, you didn't have Haredi chinuch when they cut you off from the world. You had the finest open chinuch. Where is your kippah? And he already knew who I was. His father and mother, he put it all together. Who sent it. He says to me, well, my father told me that to be a mensch is the most important thing. Well, let me correct your father with all due respects. It's half the picture. You're a mensch, but you gotta be a Jew. That then my Yetzirah got the best of me, and I said, listen, let's not play games. I want to meet your wife. The Daila Hakim of the Ramizi. You follow me? The Medrash Rabin Breshep HaKol Acharei HaIsha. Anyway, we remain good friends, and he told me whenever I want to come back to Tel Aviv, just contact him. It was very nice. But this is a good part of the problem. She found that they're decent, they're upright. This was like Kit Greenberg leaving Novartek, like Duby Hartman leaving Lakewood. Ah, there's a big world of it. People are nice. What? They don't have horns. They are nice. They don't have horns. But they are not good Jews. You have to help them. Okay. Rav Moshe, very powerful. So Rav Moshe says, yes, perhaps when he wrote the tombs after 1955, we have a halachic problem. But what he wrote before 55 is nisht andrish, it's not different than Sefer Torah Shekatav Min. And before, he's not a Min. Sefer Torah is good. You can sing his Niguna. Rav Moshe says, Afna b'nei Torah u'balei nefesh ein makom l'hachmiah. And you see, this is a concept that creeps up on the American scene. We all want to be machmir. You can take question after question. Tremendous machloket. Today, the trend is, I'm a Baal Nefesh, I'm a Talmud Chacham. There are big problems with being machmir. It's an open Mishnah in Eidiyot. Rabbi Yossi Hashraya, Rabbi Yossi talking about the original Panoyim. They were matir too many times. And the Mishnah goes on to say, and the Gemara elaborates, not good to be matir all the time, not good to be machmir all the time. Person, certain things you're matir, certain things you're machmir. Person has to be balanced. So Rav Moshe is very good here. Afle b'nei Torah bali nefesh, ein makom lahachmir. And you should remember these words when we dealt with a Reuven. Remember, for 2 years, we saw all the machloket, and you know the ultimate conclusion. No one has been able to argue with me. If you're a Litvak, you could be machmir if you wish. All right, the Mishkan of Yaakov. But if you're a Polisha, it's a lot harder to be machmir. The Beit Ephraim. And if you're Ungarische, if you're Hungarian, you cannot be machmir. If you're machmir, you're an absolute apikaris. And that's an open shiv of the Chakam Sefer. Well, we elaborated for 2 years, but we did a passable job of explaining it all. Then he goes further. And he says, look, maybe we're being too harsh with Shlomo. What did he do? He wasn't apikarmis. He wasn't a min. He didn't say b'machal on Shabbos. He didn't become like his partner Zalman Shechter Shlomi Shechter. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yitzchak. Okay, so you understand.
New Age Judaism, right?
What?
That's the guy from New Age Judaism.
New Age Judaism. Zalman Zayn Gezunt. New Age Judaism. I want Old Age Judaism, exactly. Refined Judaism. But much worse than that. Then he got involved with. No question, Shechter went off the path. But would you say Kabach went off the path? He did sins. There's no question his sexual life was not proper. All right? We'll come to that later today. That there's no question. But will you passel someone completely who's a Shomer Shabbos, Makpid on Kashrut, gives away every cent he has to Tzedakah? You know the stories with Kalbach. When he died, money had to be collected to pay for his funeral. Are you aware of that? I know people, and that's a true story. I mean, I find it hard to believe, but I know people who contributed money. He gave away. It was like, I write about Reb Lazer Silva. The shul in Cincinnati used to pay his wife. They did not pay him because they knew it. Reb Lazer, from the shul, walking to his house, someone came over and gave him a story that he has to marry off a daughter and he has no money for the wedding. Reb Lazer would give away his entire salary. Now, that is not a healthy situation. Tzedakah is important, but first you have to see that you have the basic necessities of life. So Shlomola had a lot of good points going for him. So maybe we shouldn't say anything against the songs. And here Reb Moshe makes a very interesting comment, which we have to think about. He says there are many accomplishments in the world that the name of a Jew is upon them. And he was not from. And nevertheless, we quote, we use, we do. Give me an example. Salk vaccine. Sabin vaccine. You don't realize, when I was growing up, I knew kids who had polio in their youth who remained crippled. There was a president of the United States that they never showed you below his chest. Right or wrong, who was he? Franklin Delano Roosevelt, of course. The man was crippled. He had polio. He was in a wheelchair. You never saw that. They never displayed it. No, is anyone going to say we shouldn't call it the Salk vaccine, the Sabin vaccine? He was a Mechallel Shabbos. You say, he did. The guy wrote music, all right. It's not that he wrote a Sefer Torah. It's not that a Shem Rishayim. A Karl Bach song, all right. There were many performers that we all sang their songs. Jews, Mechallel Shabbos. No, you all quoted their names. I can give you a long list of TV personalities. By the way, today, for the first time, you have people in television in Hollywood, Shomrei Torah and Mitzvah. That's the story with what happened now with the Shtissel. I couldn't believe my eyes when I read the story that this lady who's a producer in Hollywood and her daughter, and obviously Balei Tshuva, the daughter must have become a Balei Tshuva and brought the mother, and they come to his and they see Shtitzel, and they're blown away. The woman is interviewed, said, my daughter cried, my daughter loved it. My daughter wants now to make an American series of Shtitzel based in Borough Park. It's going to be very interesting to see. Are you aware of what we're talking about? Okay. So, as I told Wertheimer at the Kolta, you're not the average Schwerer Chassid. Remember our conversation with Jacob Wertheimer? We'll quote him tomorrow. Anyway, so what are we going to do? We're going to be angry at Bob. Well, one second. Let's give names of Jews. The odd couple. Both of them were Jewish, right or wrong. Both stars, Felix and Oscar. Felix was a big activist in the Hollywood Temple, the conservative temple. Oscar Cain was the ninth child in his family, from people, immigrants living in South Philadelphia. Oscar, in his second marriage, he marries a guy. You follow? Felix, who had less of a background, was more observant than Oscar. But all right, these are names. They invent, they do, they write. What was Berlin, the guy who wrote all the fancy songs about America? What was his first name? Irwin Berlin, right? Irwin Berlin. Irwin or Irwin?
Irwin.
Like the Jews, not the sophisticated Irwin. Irwin Berlin. All right, we sing the song, and after who's going to say an happy chorus? You follow? It's not a Davishe B'Kedusha. So he wrote a song. Rakefet spoke that what defeated the Cubs in 45, Rabarin, where he was hot from, is the Yom HaYudus my Ram. They just quoted my eulogy in Toronto. I can't get over. A little Narishkeit, I said in the eulogy, and they turned it into a whole drasha. But Rabarin was the last person alive who could give you the starting lineup for the 45 Cubs. It went 7 games, but it was very different. Who beat the heck out of the Cubs in the 7th game? Hank Greenberg, my father's sandlot baseball partner from Cortona Park in the Bronx. No, we're not going to quote Hank Greenberg. We're talking about his baseball achievements. He didn't write a Sefer Torah. All right. Reb Moshe, I can't get over it here. He says, Al inyanei chidush b'refuah u'b'mishins. Ubedomer, Jews have had innovations. What are you going to say? We're not going to refer to it as Greenberg's ball game just because he was a Mechallel Shabbos. He came from a frum family, by the way. You know, it's America. It's the story of America. 100-plus years ago. So,
Charles Salant's son
became a professor.
I don't
know if he won a Nobel Prize. I don't know if he married out. But
he has a mathematics.
Yeah, all right. He had his father's head, but we all have problems. And what about the Alter Rebbe's son became a Catholic? I mean, that's the whole book was written by a professor in Tel Aviv of problems in the Hasidic world. That's the first example he gives. But all right, everyone knows that. It's part of life. Children rebel. It's part of life. I suffer from it. I suffer. I hear a grandson say, I met this girl and she heard I'm Rav Kefet's grandson. She was dancing around me. Ah, that's not for me. Then I heard my children talking. They're having a good laugh. Shabbos, we had a big part of the family together at my daughter's house. And grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so I hear the grandchildren talking. I was at this hotel a few weeks ago with my daughter. It took us very, very nice. Sharon Hotel, I think it's called in Herzliya.
Yeah, that's so,
it attracts from people. It's ready to cater to from people, I gather, and it's a very nice hotel. You're very happy there. So at the davening, their two kids see my YU hat. So these kids start talking to me. Oh, they're from YU. I say, yeah, I'm also from YU. They're telling me, how are you from YU? You live in Israel. I say, no, I teach. Oh, you teach in Korea. Wait a minute. The kid says, you're Rav Rakefin. The kids are dancing around. And my grandson is calling around. The grandsons, they're laughing. You know, they are laughing. You understand, Herbie? So you can't blame the Alter Rebbe. This is part of life, and it's a long list, unfortunately. Don't ask what happened to Rabbi Akiva Eger's family, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is why, if anyone criticizes Reb Moshe Soloveitchik and Pesha Feinstein Soloveitchik, I punch them in the nose, because they raised five from children at a time when it wasn't fashionable. The 10s into the 20s. Okay, into the early 30s.
Did Rabbi Lubavitcher, Rabbi's nephew, arrested him?
The Rebbe, wait, what are you saying? The Lubavitcher Rebbe's nephew?
Arrested him. He was a member of the KGB.
The Lubavitcher Rebbe's nephew arrested the sixth Rebbe you're talking about. Kenzain, Alts Kenzain, that is life. But here Reb Moshe says, and if this is the case, what's wrong with playing his nigunim before 65, before 55, and after 55? And he says, if there are few b'nei Torah and b'alei nefesh who feel they want to be stringent because they knew Kalbach and they feel it's not right what he did, fine, let them be stringent with songs after 55. But look what the Moshe writes, Apshahu Tam Kalush. Halachically, they're on very weak ground. And then it seems, listen, Reb Moshe knew Shlomo. Reb Moshe came from a Litvisha background. Reb Moshe came from a world in Europe. There was no separate seating and weddings. I once asked Rabbi Ruchem Gerelich, who was a bit of a kanoi, you all know that. And he said to me, I'm nicht got a problem mit das. Bei uns ist allemal gewen mit der Familie. He sat with your family. It wasn't that you came to a wedding and there were place cards in Europe. You came to a wedding and there were tables spread out. You sat with your wife, your children, your daughters, your daughters-in-law. Family, family, family. So Rav Moshe has a much more benevolent attitude to Shlomo. You'll see in a minute he has more to the chuppah. And on the other hand, Rav Menashe Klein, who comes from an Ungarische background, he is not benevolent at all. It could also be the fact of the years in which they wrote. Reb Moshe is writing at a very early period, the late 50s. Reb Menashe Klein is writing in the 70s. And of course, by that time, Shlomo LeKalbach, there's a big Hasidic breakthrough in America. It's a new world in America. The swing to the right is on. And you're going to be machshir, someone playing a guitar and singing with men and women, clapping and singing and dancing. All right? It could be the time had an effect. And then Reb Moshe says, this is what we're driving at. Reb Moshe puts it into halachic categories. That if a person has a bad reputation, it doesn't mean he is an apikairis. It's not that he denies God, that he denies Torah. But there's a little college rosh here. Boys and girls together, it's a bit of pritzot. And Reb Moshe says, this type of sin is mumar letei avon. It's not a mumar lahachis. It's like I said last week, when we discussed the Kalbach, as Dalfin does the research, as Affenbacher does the research, had he got married at a normal age, he would have been perhaps like his twin brother, Rebbe Chaim Kalbach. We both knew him. Herbie knew him, and I knew him. I knew him very well. We rabbinated adjacent communities, Maplewood adjacent to Hillside. He was in Hillside, I was in Maplewood.
And,
all right, it could be, but you all remember what I told you. For his mother, no one was good enough. I've seen this in life so many times. Mothers don't want to let go of their sons. And the Mishnah, you think Chazal are too stringent? Chazal are so insightful. The Mishnah in Yevamot, a mother-in-law can't testify for a daughter-in-law. Chazakah shesonot. Zulazu. It's an achievement when a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law get along, because there's a built-in enmity. It's subconscious, but the mother doesn't. This is Hazan, Zundel, Hassan. You know what a son means to a mother? And here a strange girl takes her away, takes him away. Wow. Could be. And he says, and now he gives an example. Tell me, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, if Shlomo Kalbach wrote a Sefer Torah now, after all these rumors about his behavior, what's the status of the Sefer Torah? And he brings sources, absolutely kasher. And you'll see the sources. He brings from the Pitkei Tshuva, Kodim Tshuva. What about if a Karai wrote a Sefer Torah? Me'ika Hadin, a Karite, Sefer Torah is kasher. The reason we don't use it, we don't burn it, we don't destroy it, the reason we don't use it is because we're worried he doesn't know all the halachot of how to write a Sefer Torah. He's a Karite. He didn't learn in a yeshiva gavoha. He didn't take courses in safrut. But me'ika hadin, you would never destroy the misty Sefer Torah. And if this is the case, Shlomo Kalbach is a muma, but only l'teyavon, and rock in one inyan, one topic, his sexual behavior, then his Sefer Torah would be absolutely kasher. And if this is the case, if a Sefer Torah would be kasher, then alachat kama v'kama his nigunim. You are allowed to listen. You are allowed to play. And he says, I feel very strongly, there's nothing the matter. Nevertheless, I understand some people may want to be machmir, but me'ikar hadin, he is absolutely not, and he refers, he hints, he's not like Zalman Shechta Shlomi. He became an out-and-out apikoros, an out-and-out man. What?
Is he mentioned here?
No, not by name, but he refers to others, and you can see that Rav Moshe knew about both of them. It was well known. They were both talmidim of the Rebbe. This is the, when you look at the Rebbe Shluchim, I don't think he had another tragedy like this tragedy. The first Shluchim he sent out. Could be the Rebbe learned from it too.
When did he write this?
Excuse me?
When did
59.
So this is really early.
Early, yeah. Well, I'm not talking. Nasha Klein wrote in the 70s, but he could be I'm wrong, could be I'm reading into it. But he's stressing that Kalbach is not like others. It was only in one area, the sexual area. Zalman Shechter was also out of Chadbar at this time and was starting to move in a totally different direction.
This was already publicly known by 59.
I can't answer because I wasn't involved and I didn't know about Kalbach. I knew Zalman Shechter. I only learned about afterwards, but he was considered totally chutz l'tchum in the 60s already. I heard about him, early 60s. You follow? But this was in 59. But okay.
If Rob Feinstein is questioning,
yeah,
you know, his behavior and dividing it up in terms of times, so what's his division point and how does he know?
No, because he knew what was going on with Kalbach. Kalbach and the Shechter were two well-known individuals. Everyone knew the story. It was a small world then. Everyone knew what had happened, that these two shluchim, the Rebbe had to disown them.
They became hippies.
The Rebbe had to disown them. Well, Kalbach was not yet a hippie. But later in life, they become hippies, absolutely. All right, but maybe I'm wrong, it doesn't matter.
Rabbi mentioned Karaites. Karaites, don't they deny kosher law? How does that affect?
I'll tell you, with Karaites, it's a long history. I spoke about it in great detail many years ago. I think it's in this volume as well. Many Karaites, particularly in the Slavic world, remained very close to the Jewish people, and there was no animosity. At times they intermarried and they came back as from Jews. The Ashkenazi Karaim were a big problem because they went out of their way to differentiate themselves from the Jewish people so they shouldn't suffer persecution. So you'll see the difference between the Shulchan Aruch's attitude to them and the Rama's attitude. Shulchan Aruch, much more lenient, and the Rama much more stringent.
Didn't believe in it,
when Reb Moshe was quoting the Karaites, he may very well be quoting Sephardic sources. I don't know whether the Ashkenazim would be as to the point not to quote them Minim. Yeah, they didn't believe in Torah Shabbat, yeah? But they did believe in some form of Torah. They believed in Torah Shabbat, and ultimately they did have a Torah Shabbat. Rabbi Rebel's doctorate was written on the Karaitic tradition. It's an interesting scientific Jewish study, what they accepted, what they didn't accept. But Sofer Sheldava, you see with the Karaites, that they too ultimately had an oral tradition. There was no way
you backed on Yom Kippur. That's not the portion of Torah.
You know, they had certain things where they remained very firm.
They have a few shuls in Yerushalayim.
They have in Israel. All over you'll find the Karaitic presence, but it's very small here. Many of them came back to the heartland of the Jewish people. Now,
they were big in Krakow.
Yeah, they were all over, I think it's in here as well, the Karaitic community, and why the Rama was Machmir, and why the Shulchan Aruch was Matir. It's not Matir in the Shulchan, it's Matir in the Beis Yosef, marrying with them. Okay, now, I have to tell you, the question of Shlomo Kalbach and his sexual behavior is a very severe question. Number one, I'm going to be quoting from Nachum Lamb, and then afterwards I'm quoting from Rabbi Mark Dratch, my student. I want to quote from Rabbi Nachman. Like my whole family, I'm a great admirer of Shlomo Carbach. My sisters were great followers of his and I have no complaints against him. But facts are facts. Friends of ours who knew him in San Francisco in the late 1960s personally witnessed behavior that we don't have to spell out. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Or at least where there's fire, there's smoke. It was the 60s in San Francisco. And our friends aren't saying that anyone was forced or raped or the like, which I suppose is some comfort in today's day and age. It's this little paragraph becomes an entire article. And I'll tell you about the testimony, very powerful, very strong, and probably correct. But I want to go further with Nachum Lamb's article for another minute, Nachum Lamb's letter. I imagine that the element of YU that won't play Kalbach, Dalfin means left-wing Yeshivat Chovevei Torah types. An interesting comment. Dalfin made the point that there are people in YU who will not play Kalbach. I've yet to come across those people, but this is what Nachum Lamb says. I do recall a story where a chassid once asked the Yamshin of a Rebbe, who was close with Kalbach, how he could be friendly with him. The Yamshin of a sighed and said, quote, "We should all have as many zchuyot and shemayim as he has." And Nachum says, I think that's a good way to put it. Going the other way, there's a cute story about him and Rav Meir Kahana, which took place right before Rav Kahana was killed. Rabbi Kalbach was in line at the airport and needed to pay a fee about $15 and, as usual, had no money. He was always giving money away. He looked around and he saw Rav Meir and asked him if he could lend him $15. And Rabbi Kahana did so. Later on the plane, he discovered that in fact he had some cash deep in his pocket. But he gave Rabbi Kahana only $14 back. Shlomo explained, quote, "So many people owe you so much. I owe you a little something too," end quote. All right, so you see from that letter, we're dealing here with Shlomo Kalbach. We're dealing with someone. He was, how can we put it, a chalent in personality. There were so many different aspects of his life. On one hand, I have to say, I condemn him. That sexual behavior cannot be tolerated. On the other hand, I don't want to demean him entirely. The man had a lot of zchuyot. Now, I got a very serious letter from my dear Talmud, Rabbi Mark Dratch. All of you know that Rabbi Dratch should live and be well. He's first of all a Talmud Chacham, Yirei Shamayim, and he's had a difficult life. What can I tell you? I know he's lost his wife, who was also someone I greatly admired, Sarah Lamb. Rabbi Nachum Lamb, the president's daughter. And Mark has gone, Dafkein Vaita, he's gone further, he's marrying off children today. I love Mark, he's a wonderful individual. So you all know that before he became the executive vice president of the Rabbinical Council of America, he had an organization that dealt very strongly with the sexual problems, lo aleinu, in the Torah world. And I need not tell you, as I've said many times, I would be very happy if these problems only existed in the Haredi world. Then I could say, our chinuch is better, we're more open, I get. Gentlemen, these problems are across the board. The Haredi world, the Dati world, the Hasidic world. It's a sad comment on Torah life today. We are greatly affected by the world beyond us. Now, Mark wrote an article where he comes out against Shlomo Carlbach, and then there's an entire article from Lilith magazine, which he sent to me. The article from Lilith magazine is recent. It's not ancient, but it deals with Carlbach's life and all that he accomplished, but the sexual indiscretions, which were part and parcel of his rabbinic career from more than four decades. And I have to tell you, he quotes quite a few people, quite a few women in this article. Very powerful quotes. I don't want to spend time reading it, but I want to tell you one thing. When I was being briefed by Nativ, the branch of the Mossad that dealt with Russian Jewry, so before we went the first time, we went through, they contacted me in May of 1980. Malk and I didn't go for the first time until January of 81, and we had weekly briefings. Remember, we knew nothing about Russia, I mean, outside of demonstrating, and but we really, what was going on, it introduced us to a whole new world. And we had a master, because the bosses, we called him, we weren't allowed to mention his name, because you couldn't mention it in Russia, we used to call him the boss. Aryeh Kroll, later to get Pras Yisrael for what he did for Russian Jewry. I write about it in Washington, and you can read it either in Hebrew or in Hebrew in the Tivat Mama, where they write about Malkan Aaron Rakefet, and they write about Aryeh Kroll, or you can read it in English in my book. All, everything I write was later substantiated by the Mossad book. So it's not that I had the facts wrong. So he told us that it's not just that we're teaching Gemara then, not just that we're bringing messages, not just that we're bringing thousands of dollars for the underground activity of the Refusnik community, but he said, we depend upon you to come back and give us an idea of what's really happening there, because it's a very dynamic community. It increases daily. Remember, this began with a handful of people, and then Refusnik, and many of them become religious in refusal. There are reasons why. It's not for now to go into, but you ask yourself, why am I suffering? Well, if you ask yourself, why am I suffering? You have to ask, what does it mean to be a Jew? And once you get involved in what it means to be a Jew, you can ask questions, and the answers may lead you to Torah Hashem Tamima, as it did in hundreds and hundreds of cases. So he said, you're going to meet with people and you're going to listen to their stories. And they're going to tell you about the politics and about the inner fighting and who is trustworthy and who's a KGB agent. I mean, these are real problems. People would sit in on these meetings of refuseniks and then report to the KGB and get food and caviar and liquor. You have no idea what went on in Russia. So Aryeh said to us, I want to explain to you something. When you, I'll limitate just what he did. So when you're going to hear one story and another story, they're going to conflict. But you put one story on top of another, and where they correspond, you can be pretty certain that is the truth. The interpretations right and left, all right, forget about it. But two, three people, the heart of where they correspond, that is truth. I have to tell you, the testimony here is very frightening, because Lilith is not a magazine that loves Jews. You should know the founding editor was my wife's classmate in Ramaz, and if I had any seichel, I would write a book. The class of Ramaz Revisited, 60 years later, I'd have a bestseller. My sister's class, half the girls didn't marry. Some of them became lesbians. Some of them hated men. One of them, a very beautiful girl, I knew her well, a Chassidic Rebbe's granddaughter. She married an Arab here, lives in the Triangle, a medical doctor. It's beyond words with that class, because we're on the cusp of feminism, the 60s already. My wife was a little earlier, but Lilith, the original editor, don't ask. It's not exactly but you have to believe this article. And I'll tell you even more. Malka's cousin told us this story, and these are cousins. Malka's family is in America since 1870. There's a Frum part of the family, almost everyone living in Israel, and there's a totally assimilated part of the family. I'm jumping for joy when I came back from the Chabad retreat and I learned what Sinai scholars are. So Malka's first cousin emailed her that her daughter has become a Sinai scholar at the University of South Florida, and we jumped for joy, Malka and I. Halavai, some Yiddishkeit should come out of it. So this first cousin of Malka, it's another sister, never married, a free thinker. She goes to Brazil to help the children there. It's nishta brekel Yiddishkeit. Nothing. It's so sad. And their father, Zichrono Levracha, until he was 16, 17, he and his brother never carried on Shabbos. Then they went into the army and they threw the entire Torah away. Although the older brother came back later in life, total shama mitzvah, he and his wife. But too late, the children already were out of the house and they were different. All right. So this girl told us, she was a Kalbach Titan, the sense also of free spirit, the new age, the exact word, new age. And she said, Kalbach would call her, she'd be in Brazil or here, there, he would call her in the middle of the night, what kind of clothes are you wearing? How are you dressed? I mean, this is sick. I didn't know what I can believe Malka's cousin. Here it is, one woman after another with very similar stories. More than that, there's actually an accusation of rape here, which is exactly what my daughter told me. Remember I told you last week, my daughter and I debated, and my daughter said, Abba, you're naive. And remember, my daughter's on top of the ball in this world. She's the first Tohenet Rabbani in history, a lawyer as well, tremendous practice in family affairs, and knows all the Batei Dinim here, and all the courts here, and all the judges, and all the Dayanim. I'm a bit of a hero with the Dayanim, because she was the first one, and they were frightened stiff, it's feminists coming into the Beit Din. Until then, all types of women could come in as lawyers, but now it's the Var Hashem, Zu Halacha. These women know how to learn, and they're coming in, and feminist, and Baruch Hashem, my daughter is very far from feminism. So Baruch Hashem, I'll tell you, the accusation is here. It's absolutely frightening. And you got to read the article. I have to say, it's very powerful, filled with details, and it leaves you with a very, very empty feeling.
What year was the article?
The article is recent. It's, I think, 2015. Let me see if there's any title here to the article. One second. Here's the way you can get it on the website. Go to Google. Lilith, Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach's shadow side. And that will lead you to the article. Okay? Yeah.
They had one written over a decade ago already about this.
Uh-huh. I know their websites. So this may be the original article. Maybe it's not that recent. But the testimony is very...
How do you spell
Lilith? L-I-L-T-H.
L-I-T-H.
It's the name of a shade. A shade. It's in the Midrashic literature. A woman who's a shade. It's very frightening.
I knew that for many years.
1998.
From Elizabeth.
Right? 1998, the article? Right. Okay, 1998.
Wouldn't allow him to be in the Sabbath Kedushin.
Right.
You know about that.
Yeah, no, I can tell you a story. I'll tell you a second. But you see, other people came to his defense. One woman telephoning Lilith from Jerusalem in horror that any negative story about Rabbi Kalbach might appear recalled. He hugged many, many people. And he also saved so many people with these hugs. Another man remembers a synagogue counselor in the late 1960s when Rabbi Kalbach kissed every person who greeted him there, kissed them on the mouth. But I'll tell you a story that Kalbach told. I mean, this I heard with my own ears. He didn't give the name of the rabbi, but I can venture a guess. He was scheduled to give a concert in, let's say, Jewish Center, Rabbi Leo Young's shul. Leo Young, we'll talk about him, if not tomorrow, next week in the Monday class we come back. I'm going to reveal very important secrets when I finish Lubavitch. I hope I can finish tomorrow. So, Rabbi Leo Young, did you know Rabbi Leo? Very dignified, very yekish. Everything had to be proper. Very impressive individual. So let's say it's Rabbi Young. He doesn't say the name, but the way he describes the person, it could very well be. He was supposed to perform an issue. So here he is, Kalbach, sitting in a corner of Penn Station, and a lady is crying on his shoulders, and he's hugging her. And who comes through the station, just getting off the train, just came back to New York? There is Rabbi Leo Young. And he sees the sight, and he cancels the concert. Contacts Kalbach, not there in Penn Station, but later that night, and tells him, forget about the concert, I am canceling it, I can't have someone with such behavior perform in my synagogue. And Kalbach says, this is the story. This was a girl who he was makarev, and lo aleinu, cancer, a few weeks to live, and she was crying, and he told her to come see her. She came into New York, see him. She came into New York. He met her at Penn Station, and he sat with her for a few hours, hugging her and holding her and comforting her. That's Kalbach's story. You see, in that story, you have the conflict, black and white. But the Lilith article and Rabbi Drach's conclusions are much sharper than that story. So I have to tell you, I'm very troubled. I'm a Jew who lives with halacha. They can be a machlokes, you can be mekel, you can be machmir. I'm not an amaretz. I understand what psach is all about. But it troubles me. What do we do about Kalbach? Rabbi Menashe Klein Asid. Reb Moshe Feinstein was matir, matir b'gadol. I mean, go through the tshuva, I quote it to you, see with your own eyes. What do we do?
59 is really very early in terms of...
No, he already left Chabad by 55, 54 actually.
It didn't get any better.
And no, it got worse. But he left and went out on his own. And in the 60s, you see, the House of Love and Prayer... They interviewed people who were there in the Lilith article, and they say there was total hefkerit there. If you recall, I even quoted from Dalfin's book last week that no one even knows today, was there a mechitza or wasn't there a mechitza in the House of Love and Prayer. And Dalfin tries to be melamed zchut and Kalbach, if there wasn't a mechitza, it's because it wasn't a regular shul that was like davening in someone's house, like davening in a Beit HaAvel, or davening in a Sheva Brachas, where the men go on one side, the women on another, etc., etc. And today, by the way, there are women who daven. It's not like in the old days, you could chase the women, go into the kitchen, and the men will stay in the living room. I was just in a house of mourning, and they're davening, and I saw two, three women davening, and it's beautiful. I mean, I'm like, God forbid I should tell the women not to daven. I mean, chas v'chalila, I'm not the Rabbi Mordechai Broya I told you about. He used to get hysterical at Michlala when he saw the women shuttling in the hallway. But
my question is, would Rav Moshe say the same thing in 1980?
Well,
20 years later.
Okay, so I'll tell you.
There's
a lot. I hear the question very well, and I'm very troubled. And you see, Rav Moshe is making, and yet look what the facts are. All right, he's not an apikoros, he's not a min. So I can only answer, and I fall back on this all the time. This is the koach of the Torah world. Lo neviyim hem, b'nei neviyim hem. The Gemara in Pesachim, that Samach Vav. You recall Hillel HaZaken, the people didn't know what to do if you didn't bring the knife to the Beis HaMikdash on Friday. You had to bring a carbon Pesach. It was Erev Shabbos was Erev Pesach. And Korban Pesach is Deichel Shabbos. And people didn't know what to do. And Hillel didn't know what to answer. And he says, Imlo Nevi'im Hein, B'nei Nevi'im Hein. Also, I don't have to tell you the Gemara in Brachot, it's four times in Shas. Very powerful Gemara, where they didn't know what bracha you make on water. Any other food you can do without. If you don't have water, you're not going to live. I think they do research today. You can someone was just found in rubble where there was a cave-in recently. So a girl was found who was without water for 4 days and she was alive. They said that was a miracle. Because generally speaking, they say, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's around 72 hours. You must have water to sustain the body. Your body is 80% water, 82% water. They're exact statistics. The blood, the water, the liquids. So maybe we should say a burn of fashut before we drink water. It's so important. They didn't know what the paskin. And they go, fuk hazi mai amar debar. Go out and see what the people are doing on the street. And somehow Klal Yisrael has this power. They know what's right, they know what's wrong. It's the intuitive Torah sense of the Jewish people. We've been Maisa Nefesh. We're alive today. I grew up during World War II, after World War II. You don't know how hard it was for me to be a frum Jew in the Bronx. Who was frum? I told you in shul, the Rav used to say, you only see kids under bar mitzvah in shul and people who observe Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What he was saying was they're retired, so they come to shul, Shabbos too. I grew up, there were 6:30 minyanim in every shul. Those were Kaddish zuggers. They finished davening by 8:15, made kiddush, went home, changed their clothes, and went to work. Lo aleinu, that was the reality. And look what's happened. I'm Yisrael. And not just Yekka Judaism, Litvisha Judaism. Look at the rebirth of Hasidut. I mean, just think for a moment. In this classroom, generally, there are three Hasidim sitting in front of me. Natan Cohn is ill today, so he's not here. Alex Glassman, what happened? The glass broke? Also ill. Oh my gosh, it shows you the Hasidim Avram. What are you going to do about the Hasidim? You have to get them well. And here we have a Colin Stalin, a Hasid, right in front of our eyes. Where's he from? The Ukraine. And look, Yitzchak, look what happened here. So this is the power, the power of Am Yisrael. So if they accept Kalbach, what can I say? I have to sing, I have to rejoice. Yes, great Zchuyot. Am Yisrael Chai, Am Yisrael Chai. I remember in 89, I write about it in Washington. I mean, you can't even start to comprehend this when the Iron Curtain started to fall. So they allowed the opening of the Shlomo Michael Center. I mean, nothing has been written on this. It's just a shame that movies should be made. All right, I wrote about it. At least one day they can quote my book. Shlomo Michael, do you recognize the name? When Stalin killed in the early 50s all the leaders of the Jewish community, none of them were religious, but they were poets, they were writers, he was the leading actor. He headed up the Moscow Jewish theater. They sent him to Minsk to organize a theater there, and he was run over with the KGB, Stalin's daughter, later in America. She left Russia, you know that. Wrote her memoirs. She wrote the way her father arranged for Shlomo Michael to be killed. His daughter had been married to a Jew, so she was very close to the Jewish people, to say the least. So, many years later, 89, they allowed the Shlomo Michael Center to open. At the same time that they allow the center to be opened, there's a big event in Moscow, and they have public Jewish programs. And in one of the big concert halls, they bring in to Moscow in 89 the leading Israeli singers, Dudu Fischer, Yaffa Yarkoni, and the place is mobbed with Jews. And the place goes in ecstasy. Am Yisrael Chai. What a skut Kalvak has. That's one of the songs they sang. Yaffa Yarkoni did Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. These were Jews who never saw Yerushalayim. And it was the closure of their lives. And I called an article in Washington how these Jews sitting there with all their medals from World War II in Russia, you didn't have money, but Sunday you would dress up, everyone would go to the park and walk and stroll and all go to the theater when you went to a formal event, all the medals. And here are Soviet citizens sitting there with all their medals and tears pouring down their eyes when they hear Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, and one elderly Jew turns to another and says, "It's good to be a Yid. It's good to be a Jew." So Kalbach has a schut. I can't paskin. I'm not such an amoritz. I got a kiss from Naomi Shemer. You don't know that. Twice in my life, women kissed me. One time was 69. We went to hear Naomi Shemer in concert. I went over and I told her that we came in Aliyah because of Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. She kissed me. What could I do? My wife was standing next to me. The other time I got a kiss. She was a young lady. It didn't matter. Naomi Shemer never grew old. She's one of the great women of our times. Halavai, she should be Zaycha to great-grandchildren, Gedolei Yisrael, and Yirat Shemayim, and learning. But they sang Am Yisrael Chai. I believe Dudu Fischer sang it. Open up Washington and reread that part. So you see, it's an open question, but Am Yisrael paskind, and I have to bow before Am Yisrael. So I apologize to Leland. I apologize to my students, Rabbi Drach and Nachum Lamb. And even though I'm troubled, I have to bow in lo nevihim hen the bein nevihim. Gentlemen, ad kan the question of Shlomo LeKalbach. We saw Reb Moshe today. Bring him in, Giddy. Bring him in. We got to find them. The guys get sick, right? What can I tell you?
There's no one who doesn't do Kalbach.
Right. No. Well, Yitzchak, yes.
I wonder if the same question would be presented today to the very same poskim, if they would have rendered the same conclusion.
Well, that's what Michael was asking.
Yes. One is not alive anymore. Yeah. So it's very possible that Menashe Klein was concerned, not just about the music, but Yeshiva Bochum actually following him and joining his movement.
Number
two, it already became a phenomenon which is across the board.
Yeah, well, listen, today the Haredi world has a big problem with the singers, that they become like Gedolei Yisrael, Shveki. And I just saw an interview with them. I don't know these people, but I just saw an interview that he's sending his kids to a day school where he wants his kids to have secular knowledge. I said to myself, oy vey, before we know it, they're going to wind up here in Gris Kollel. All right, it'll be my pleasure. Gentlemen, ad kan, it's an open issue, but that's the way I pass from la halacha, and I. What can I do? If Reb Moshe wrote what he wrote, and he has the skliyot, the sex is a problem. I have a problem with it. I cannot tell you. I saw Gedolei Yisrael, who went off the path. There's a famous Rosh Yeshiva, I don't want to mention his name. I have a big skut. I saved the yeshiva from closing. It's quite a story, but I can't tell it in public because I don't want to mention the name. Anyway, this Rosh Yeshiva, and this is in the Kippah Srugah world. This is not the Haredi world. years ago, an Eshet Ish. She had to get divorced. She was an Eshet Ish. His wife remained with him, but I think they slept in two separate bedrooms afterwards. He's now the rabbi of the shul. He's an older man, and the shul needed a rabbi, a Talmud Chacham. And the price was right. They didn't have to pay him much. He's on pension. So I asked these people, how do you make him the rabbi of the shul? So they looked me right in the eye and said to me, David HaMelech and Bat Sheva. I can't comment on that. I have a lot of trouble with that answer, but they're right. Vayomer David al God. What can I do? Okay, I come from a good background, B'nai Akiva, and I don't know. We all married the girls we met in B'nai Akiva. 90% of us came in Aliyah. Oh, we raised wonderful families, no divorce, grandchildren, great grandchildren. There must be in the state of Israel 200,000 descendants from an age. Gentlemen, sit down for one more minute, okay? And we're going to dive in. Gentlemen, my new book is now available. It's, don't have to praise my scholarship. We'll let you decide when you go through it. It's all dedicated to charity. So if you were here Tuesday night, I asked for a contribution of 150 shekel. For students, it's 75 shekel, and if you can't afford that, whatever you can, it goes to charity. The man in charge is Yomo. So if anyone is interested in a copy, see Yomo, who now is not just a member of the Gris Kollel, but is a member of Shvut Ami as well. A few freebies. Michael, take this for Yitz, please. Pass that to Michael. This is an old Bamishpacha, the article about the great cancer expert. This is my classmate. So if anyone's interested, it is yours. Erev, what we spoke about for 2 years, about an article of Jews being arrested for violating cutting the Erev on Shabbos in Crown Heights. Those Jews are Israelis, of course. If anyone is interested, this is the legal magazine of the lawyers here. Comes out, I think it's 4 times a year. And it's very interesting. What I call your attention, look how many kippot you see in it and how many women with their hair covered. We've come a long way. Vehement anti-Semitism in the House of Lords in England. And take a look how representatives of Natura Kata were there to curse the state of Israel. This is a fabulous article. It appeared in Hebrew as well. How the KGB had agents in Israel, including a general in the IDF. It's a fabulous article. Anti-Semitism in Rockland County. David Carlucci for Medicaid. Working together, other people can carry us. That's Pashut quoting the Gemara in Brachot, in Lo Zaku Neste Malachtam Al Yedei Acherim. These are Goya anti-Semitism, but who knows what's going on there. This will drive you crazy. New York Times, who's the parent? Two women and a third woman, the surrogate mother. Who's the parent of the kid today? You can go out of your mind halachically. The prenup of RCA, good or bad, Jewish Week article, some people object to the prenup. Rebel with a Cause, this is about a Hasidic woman in Borough Park who organized a women-only first aid, Zaka, call it what you wish, Magen David Adom. Here in Israel, it's mixed. Men and boys and girls are together. I'm talking. They're women only, dispersed responders. Anyone who's a baseball fan, the art of the box score. Remember the box score we used to sit? It's a world gone by. Lori Herdman's first pitch at a Met game. Unbelievable pictures. She's doing somersaults before she throws out the ball. All right? And here's an article, only in the forwards do you get articles like this on kosher wine and how they drive them crazy with kashrut and their standards. Enjoy. Gentlemen, Who Rachum? Who do we have? Vic, go ahead. Please, there's a derm here. Anyone who needs a sitter, there's a derm here.